Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today on Table Talks, I have a very special guest, someone very close to me, my husband, Galen Woodward. Not only is he an amazing pastor and teacher, he's also an author of two books. And his latest book is called A Matter of Time, and it's all about parenting. So I hope you'll join us today as we talk about the stages of parenting and how to raise children that turn out to be great leaders in our society. Stay tuned. I'm so excited to have you today on this episode. This is my husband, Galen, for those of you who may not know him, but he's pretty popular and famous, so
pretty much everybody knows you.
And then I'm like, are you that pastor's, are you his wife? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Galen's wife and Dustin's mom. But I'm actually extremely excited to have you on this episode today. So as I mentioned earlier, you have written a couple of books, and one is called Changing Church, and you wrote a book in the last couple of years called A Matter of Time, and it's all on parenting and legacy, and it's an easy read because it's extremely practical with lots of stories and examples, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about your book, and I wanted you to basically give us some insight on one of the chapters, but I just need to know this. So obviously you don't think we were perfect parents. We know we weren't perfect parents.
Absolutely.
We are actually almost perfect grandparents. We are really, really good grandparents, but
That's right. Weren't
perfect parents. But so what would have been the inspiration? What was the inspiration for you to write the book? Because a lot of times people write books because they become an expert in a field. We don't feel we're experts, but you felt you had a lot of information. So why did you write this book?
Well, first of all, it's very good to spend time with you.
Yeah.
It feels like we never sit down and talk. Life is so busy. But the book, I love this because it's really the passion really of our lives. We love parenting and grandparenting. And it's just, there's nothing better than that. One of the things that really motivated me years and years ago, and this is a statistic that has haunted me for years, and I have followed this for literally 30 years, but it's talking about right now, 70% of our kids, church kids, raised in church, when they turn 18, they go off to a university, 70% of them walk away from the church and walk away from God. And that is devastating when you think about how the Christian community is failing in this area, and we're going in the wrong direction. Something else that really bothers me is there is such an absence of leadership today. And when you think about Christian families filled with Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, they are gifted with the Holy Spirit, how we are not producing an army of amazing, incredible leaders. And so that's the reason why I wrote the book, is that it's about developing leaders in our homes. Those that are running around our feet one day will be amazing leaders because of intentional parenting.
How long did it take you to write this? Because that's a lot of information to gather. I mean, you just didn't have a little notebook in your back pocket of all this, but you had to be collecting information. I mean, we pastored a church for, 28 years. We were youth pastors at the same church before that for 12 years. So we've been in ministry a long time, and we have a lot of examples and information from people we've pastored.
Right.
But how long, this seems like this would be a long time to write something like this.
It's a lot of information, but I think over the years, like you said, we were youth pastors for 12 years. You learn so much, and you're so involved in teenagers' lives, in their parents, in their issues, their problems. And so it's just a lot of information that when I sat down, it took a while, but it felt like it just started rolling and flowing because we had experienced so much of that through ministry.
I love the the tagline on the book. The book is called A Matter of Time, and the tagline is positioning your children to change their world one moment at a time. So even reflecting on our children, we have three grown sons that are 40, 37, and 35, and they're all married, and we have 9 grandchildren who range in ages. The baby's about to be 4. So 4 to 21, they're mm-hmm. all about to have birthdays. And that's a huge range, but we have a lot of life experience because we've parented and grandparented now a long time. But that journey, I know it gave you insight into the book as our journey. And how much did that influence? I mean, I know you got information from watching other people, but it's not because we did everything right. So I guess your book is because we didn't do everything right. And so now there's a guide for it, or what was your inspiration?
You write a book and you speak on parenting. And I think sometimes people feel like you have the perfect family. Raising 3 kids, 3 boys, there were so many ups and downs and failures and problems and tears. And everyone goes through those things. I wish I knew what I know now, but that's the way everyone is. And so what my hope is that through our experience, we really can be an investment in young couples, helping them to know what they do not know. And so that's the reason why, again, that I wrote the book. But A Matter of Time, time is the key word here because it goes by so, so fast. And there was something that someone said to me years ago. And they said, there will always be a last time. And then they walked away. And I really didn't understand what they meant by that until I really started thinking through it. And I love the saying, but I also hate the saying because there's always a last time. There will be a last time that you'll give your child a bottle. There'll be a last time that you'll give them a pacifier. There'll be a last time you'll lay them down in their crib. And there will be a last time that they'll climb up in your arms and you'll hold them. And there's a last time. And when I think about that, it all goes by so fast. There'll be a last time that you'll take your kids to a park and play on the play equipment. And so the value of time, cherish every single moment. We say that all the time, and yet we need to live it and realize today is so, so valuable.
And kids, the last time for them of things, it doesn't affect them like it does us because, the younger you are, the less concept of time that you have. So to them, it's just like, well, there'll be another one. Yeah. There'll be another one. And, I remember our first son, our oldest son, Dustin, when it was his last high school football game, I was literally in mourning. I cried harder, than he did because they lost in the state semifinal. I see I'm still torn up about it. But I took it so hard because I knew, because I was getting older, that the last time of that meant that his time living in our home was going to come to an end soon and everything was just changing. So, and my mom and dad used to say, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I thought, oh my goodness, that sounded so dumb, but it's true. And I think, how can it be that time is just, going by so fast? And so time is super important when we're talking about our families because when you're in the middle of it, it feels like it lasts forever. And then, you get to the other side and it feels like it went by so quickly. And also, I think with the books, we're going to talk about that some, but also the book really talks about also that if you have multiple children in your family, that there's not a cookie cutter way for each child too. That there are some basic principles, but we handle every child in our home a little bit differently. And this podcast today is not just for parents, but if you have nieces and nephews, or you're a grandparent, or you think you might be a parent one day, or you babysit someone, because we're all influencers of the next generation of children, of, middle school students, high school students. And so these principles are super important no matter what we talk about. We're going to talk about it and it's going to go by fast and you may not catch everything. So, I'll put in this podcast in the comments or in the description will be the title of the book again and how they can, find the book. And again, it's called A Matter of Time. And so we're just going to jump in that I've heard you speak on this book. I've read the book, and I've heard amazing sermons come out of this book. But I thought maybe on this podcast you could really share, because I know your heart is in helping people manage the stages of their kids' life. Because if we can understand our roles, and so we just say the word parent, mm-hmm. but parenting has roles within parenting, and it's different for every stage of our kids' life. So I'm just going to, you know, I may interrupt to ask some questions, but I want you to talk about, in the book, there's a whole chapter, and then you refer to it all along, but a whole chapter on the stages of parenting. And there's commander and personal trainer and counselor and consultant. And again, we learned this, a lot of this, by trial and error. Right. I will say Galen was a bit much better parent than me, because I really feel like you were super intentional though. And where I'm more reactive, you're a thinker and you're slow to react, and I'm quick to react. So I think slow to react help you to, internalize these stages so you could actually learn from them. But so let's just talk about first, then I'll ask some more questions. Just what, real quick, an overview, what are the stages of parenting?
Okay, well, first of all, the stages, you know, you were talking about the role of a parent. It's really developing yourself as a parent to be a leader and to really know where you're headed. We accidentally kind of discovered all of these things because we had no idea the different roles that we would have to play as our children got older and older. And so we'll just jump in and talk about the four stages. And the first stage is where our role is commander, or you could say we're our commander in chief. And saying that, it's the reason why is because we do everything for our child at that moment. We are commander. So this is the stage of where our children are from birth to 5 years of age. We're in charge of everything. We're doing everything for them. We're giving them a bottle, changing their diaper as they get a little bit older, getting them ready, dressing them, putting their socks on. I mean, everything. So, you know, we are the commander in chief. At this stage, you know, they're just full of life. And when you take your kids to a store or go somewhere, they're wanting to touch everything in sight. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want to buy it. They want to experience it. And then most of the time they want to break it. And so that's what they're doing. And so, you know, we're chasing them around, and many times, you feel like they're little Energizer bunnies, and they just are going all the time. And you're so worn out because it starts at 6 a.m. till bedtime. And you just think at times, can we just take the batteries out of them? You know, you just want to just a pause for a moment, but they never, ever slow down. And so, it's just a time of where life is so busy and active, and you just kind of have to learn to deal with that because parents are so worn out. But this season is so special and it's so beautiful. This is something else that I really love thinking about. Their synaptic ability, it's really their ability to learn. It's 50 times greater than the adult brain when they're in this area of stage of life. And so they're learning at this enormous rate. And I think we forget about that at times, that this is the moment that we need to be really focused in on our children, because what we're actually doing is that we're forming the foundation for the rest of their lives. They're learning at that moment about everything in life, and that we're helping them to situate and to build a foundation that is healthy, that is strong, and that they're going to thoroughly enjoy for the rest of their lives. So, you know, another part of all of this is that it feels like at times when they're at this age is that we're just getting onto them all the time. It's no, 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 and we're having to discipline. And I think this is something also that parents get really worn out in, and they don't know really what to do. And they start second guessing themselves, saying, Am I overdoing it? Why does it feel like I'm disciplining 24/7? Am I too irritable? Am I too frustrated all of the time? And again, it's where we just kind of have to calm down and realize that this is a season of life and that we go through all of these things and that we just kind of have to pace ourselves and realize this is all going to work.
So we get past that stage, because I want to come back to that in a little bit and talk about challenges in that stage and some illustrations. But I want people to see that there is life after the commander stage, because it feels like all you ever do is, when you have toddlers, is the commander stage.
Yeah,
so
right.
They're the next stage, and they get a little, they're all very different. The stage is what's required of us. And then they're all very different. And then when you have kids in multiple, where you're a different, where you're, as the parent, you have to wear a different hat, because you have, you might have a child in the commander, where you're commander stage. And then the next stage is that you want to talk about.
Yeah. We'll go into the next stage where your kids are from 6 years of age to 12. And this is the personal trainer stage. And this is another really, really important stage. Let me back up just a moment and think about when our kids are young, we're developing not just their foundation, but we're also developing our attitude towards parenting. And this is something that's really interesting to me, because you'll find parents all the time that feel like they're very disconnected. They're not affectionate with their kids. But on the other side, you'll find parents that are very nurturing and loving and kind. And you try to figure out, you know, what creates that? Why is that? When your kids are young and you're going at such a high pace all the time, you have to create your attitude toward what parenting is going to be for you. I mean, what is your attitude towards parenting? And I think we all have to ask that question. And have you ever, you know, when people that are watching and listening, you think about Netflix and getting into a series like so many people do. And we get into a series and we get so caught up in the twisted plot and the characters. You even find yourself thinking about those characters throughout the day, and you can't wait to get home and watch one more episode.
I feel like they're a part of my family.
That's exactly what happens.
And if somebody, when it's over, I feel like I lost a family.
That's right. Well, and we all experience that. Okay, so in the very same way, when you think about your family, when you're driving into the driveway coming home from work, and you know you're getting ready to walk in the door, and those kids are going to be attracted to you like a magnet, what is your attitude? And one of the things I never, ever want to be as a parent or a grandparent is to be a no parent. And it's like, no, I don't have time. No, no, no. Because they're wanting to go out and throw the football. They want to go throw the baseball. They want to go to the driveway and play basketball or sit down at the table and color. And we can find ourselves saying, no, maybe later, too tired. And I just don't want to be that type of father or grandfather, and where it's an attitude that this is the most special moment of my day. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted, but I'm going to push myself to get out and to spend time with my kids. So as we go into this second stage, the personal trainer stage, that's exactly what it is that when our kids are between 6 and 12 years of age, it is extremely important that we as the parent, we're training them biblically, spiritually, morally, ethically, socially. And when I say all of those things, you're thinking, okay, life is so busy. How in the world do we ever find the time to come in and to teach all of these things to our kids? And so the job description for us as personal trainers is to teach them, tell them, show them, but how in the world do we find time to do it? And I want to make this very, very simple for parents that are listening right now. It's almost impossible to try to lay all of these things out and teach all of your kids. They're going to learn more from us as parents by watching what we do than what we tell them to do. And so really, the training as a personal trainer is that they're learning from your daily lifestyle. They're learning from you and everything that you're doing. They're learning by how you treat your spouse, by the habits the routines in which you create. They will learn by the tone of the voice in which you use in the home. I mean, they're learning all of these things. And so that's how we really teach that. So we've got to get our act together and try to live at the highest level that we can so our children will follow that. I just did this recently, and I think you kind of made fun of me a little bit on this, but I took a card and laminated it, and it has the fruit of the Spirit,
yeah,
the nine. You did make fun of
me. Because you have laminated things our entire married life, and I don't think anybody laminates anything anymore. And I said, I can't wait to your voice.
The reason why that I laminate cards is because if I ever laminate it, I won't throw it away. And so I only do that with the most important things. In fact, Kay, I've got a card on my desk right now in our bedroom that I laminated 30 years ago, and I still have it.
Does it say you're going to start a diet on Monday? Because I see that card you laminate.
Well, that card, that card gets thrown off
this
to the side.
Yeah. I get tickled as your cards.
But this card has the nine fruits of the Spirit. And the reason I like this card is because many times in Galatians 5, when we read that verse, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and we go through that whole list, is that those are these cute, nice little words. These are words of warfare, of where when we think about love, joy, peace, patience, all of these things, they're the nature of Christ. When Christ is inside of us, those are the things that should naturally begin to flow out of us. But it's warfare because it's fighting against the carnal nature that we have in all of us. And so that becomes, when those nine things start flowing out of us, that's the ultimate goal of creating the right environment in our homes. And so if you find yourself in a weakness, line it up with one of those nine and say, I'm going to pray this into my life until I master it. And so that's a real, I think, great tool for us to use. One more thing that I want to say on this stage is the importance of spending time with your kids. And, you know, we're with our kids a lot. I mean, we're with them in the morning when they're getting up, getting ready for school, pick them up. They're at home. We take them to practice. They're with us in the evenings. But even though we're in the same house, we may not be communicating at a high level. And I learned this probably in my early 30s. I went to a conference. It was more kind of a business style conference, and they were talking about the power of five. And a lot of corporations use this, the power of five. I took that and applied that into our home life. And after a while, it just became something that became very, very natural. It just became a way of life. But what I understood, and you were very, very good at this, of sitting down with our kids and just taking 5 minutes and just eye to eye. And today there's no phone. Ben, put the phone away, just eye to eye with one of your children, and do this with each one of them, and just start asking them questions. Hey, tell me about your day. You know, what's going on? Tell me about your friends at school. Is there anything that I can help you with? And just as you start talking to them, we all know this, that there are days that they don't want to talk. They're going to shrug their shoulders. They don't have anything to say. It's okay. But there will be other days that if you do that, the tears will start flowing. They'll start telling you about a hurt. They'll tell you about something at school. You'll start learning things about them. And I cannot stress this enough. Every parent, take time with your kids, 5 minutes each. That's such a small time. But the amount of connection that takes place when that child knows that you love them, you're concerned about them, embrace them, hold them, let them feel that security. And I'm telling you, it was one of the biggest things I think we ever did in raising our kids.
Well, and I mentioned this in a lot of these episodes because the whole motivation behind this Table Talks podcast is the table cookbook that I wrote about a year ago. But if, you know, parents, a really quick way to start the face-to-face and eye-to-eye with your kids, if you're finding that, you know, because there's only so many hours in the day when you're starting. This all is a lot to do. If you've never parented this intentionally, yeah, it's a bit overwhelming when you're hearing all the things you've got to do as a parent. Like, I thought I was just a parent.
Right.
But one thing is just get your family to the table. That's a great place to start. Have meals together. And like we've talked about on the very first episode of this podcast, the very first episode was with our son, Dustin, and his wife, Mandy. And we talked about their childhood and growing up around the table and importance of meals together. So if you're looking for what you just talked about, a place to train and model things, a great place to start is the table, because you're together and you have to take time for it and make it intentional to have meals together. It is I have found in families, the quickest thing to give up is sitting around the table and having a meal. It's much faster to the dad and one child grab a meal through a drive up and the mom and the other two to grab a meal and to not convene together at the table. And you may not be able to do it every night, but that's a whole other podcast. But we talk about that, the importance of grabbing several nights together as a family. And it's not one-on-one time, what you said is so critical, but at least it's eye-to-eye, face-to-face time with your family. And you can do that right away, just, you know, grabbing a meal together. So, you know, we've talked about commander and personal trainer, and those are hard stages. Those are very time-consuming stages of a child's life. It is a full-time job. And even if you work outside the home, and both parents could, you know, may work another job, but parenting is a full-time job. And the intentionality, I am convinced that we have amazing sons, and they chose amazing wives, and they're raising great kids, is because of all the things we didn't know what we were doing, but we were really intentional about everything we did. And we had an end goal in mind. We knew that we wanted our boys to be strong husbands, fathers, and leaders. And so knowing that that was the end goal, we parented intentionally. And then I feel like you did every bit of this when we were raising our kids, but now you have words for them. You have titles for these stages. Yeah. So the next one is counselor. And actually, this is where it becomes more fun to be a parent. Those first two stages are full-time, 24/7. It's like, am I ever going to get out of this? But these next two stages, honestly, get to be the more maybe rewarding stages of our life. So why don't you share those?
Yeah, this is really a fun stage, 12 to 18. I say fun. Also, the opposite side of this, that if you have a rebellious teenager in your home, it can become one of the most painful times of life that you'll ever have. The tension, the stress, the fighting, the yelling, the screaming, the rebellion. And you know, so many people walk through that. And we've walked through that with so many people. And we know how painful that is. If you do the first two stages, then you can minimize the rebellion. Not every time, but you can greatly minimize that from happening. And so you go into this counseling stage, again, from 12 to 18 years of age. And it's when you can spend such quality time with your teenagers and have a great time as they're growing and they're changing. But you said something that is so valuable. And I think early on, if every parent could do this, is maybe just go to a coffee shop somewhere, sit down, and then start thinking and write this down. What do I want my child to look like when they're 18? When they're getting ready to leave my home, What do I see? What do I want them to be? If you could write that down, then when they are 5 years of age, you have a goal and you know exactly where you're wanting them to go. You know what you're wanting them to accomplish in life. And it really is extremely helpful.
And it's not, to clarify, I know what you're saying, but it's not that you're picking like what they're going to be.
Oh, no, not at all.
We're talking about the quality and character.
Character.
Of a person, what qualities and the kind of character you want your child to have when they're getting ready to, you know, go off to college or to get married. Those qualities, they don't just happen at 15 years old.
No, they don't.
It's the intentionality of and working through those stages you said. So we get to this 12 and 18, and honestly, with the exception of a few instances I can think of, we I loved every stage of our boy's life. I think I loved the teenage years the absolute most. I loved that they were super busy because I'm a sports fanatic. I love that they all played sports. I love that they all loved going to church. I love that we did all that together. And it was just, I thought it was the best thing ever to be busy every night of the week. And the challenge of scheduling, because I love to schedule, I loved it all. But that's not that way for everybody. But I mean, this was such a highlight time. I look back on 12 to 18 with 90% fond memories of our kids.
I do too. It is a great stage, and that really is the goal, is to get to this stage where you can enjoy each other. And but you know, here also are some things that we're working through. The mindset when they reach this age is understanding that we're trying to move them from dependence to independence. And this is something that it kind of gets brushed under the rug and we don't really think much about this, but that's one of our goals, is to prepare them for adulthood. And so along the way, when I said a few minutes ago, you're writing out what you want your child to look like. Well, along the way, if it's like, I want them to be, committed, dedicated, loving, kind, disciplined. Well, if that's the case, then down the line, teaching them to be disciplined in small ways, making their bed, picking up their clothes. Don't allow your kids just to throw their clothes on the floor all the time, but that you're teaching them, training them, cleaning the bathroom. And that's a job for a parent to do that, because I think a lot of times it's easier just to grab the stuff off the floor and throw in the dirty clothes. But where you're doing it with them, or you're teaching them to do that, to just have discipline in their lives later on, if that's what you really see them.
Can I say this? Dustin's biggest thing, he didn't shut his dresser drawers. I mean, we made them make up their bed, because I have a thing about that. But he didn't shut his dresser drawers. And Mandy told me recently, he still doesn't shut the dresser drawer. I'm like, how hard is it to shut the drawer? You just took your stuff. I failed in a couple areas.
We walked into his room. There would be times every drawer was open. And you're thinking, how is that even possible? How is that possible?
But I don't understand that. But anyway, so we didn't quite nail that area. But anyway, sorry.
Well, teens, and I've always said this, that they're like wild stallions. They're ready to run at an early age, and they want their independence. And they feel like they're far more mature than what they really are. But this is the balancing act in all of this, because wild stallions, we as parents are behind them, pulling on the reins, going, whoa, and we're not ready for them to go out and do their own thing, which they should not.
They're not ready.
That's right. And so
their brain's not even only about half developed.
It's not engaged.
I
agree. And so we're trying to calculate along the line of keeping everything in check, but giving them more and more responsibility. And one of the best ways of really figuring out where they are at their maturity level, like 14, 15, 16, you're wanting them to start developing these decision-making skills. And so one of the best ways to do that is ask your teenager questions and just start saying, how late do you think you should stay out tonight? Or do you think that's appropriate, the way you're dressed, to go out tonight? And let them comment on that. Do you think the friends that
answer, but if they give a dumb answer, which you know is not appropriate, then you still are the parent in this stage, they're not ready.
This is what's comical about this, is that all you're doing is throwing out questions. You're giving them a voice. But what you're doing is you're also calculating their level of maturity or immaturity. And so their answer, you're going to go, wow, I'm really impressed by that. Or they may give you an answer and you're going, they're not even close to having responsibility or freedom. I mean, they're far away from that. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to calculate, you're trying to give them a voice and start helping them make good decisions verbally, of saying, yeah, I understand that. I really probably shouldn't do that, you know, and just where you're able to really
and
balance
just
that.
Just a word counselor, you're still giving much advice. So one thing that we always said to our kids and you especially, that the amount of freedom that they had as a teenager was in direct correlation to, their trustworthiness, the little things, their obedience in the small things, their discipline in the small things would give them, you gave them, more slack in the rope and the chain when they made good decisions. And as soon as, if they proved to us that they couldn't make a good decision, we reeled them back in because you're still counseling.
Yeah.
You're still teaching and counseling them. And those are the last few years you've got.
Well, it is critical that you have developed good decision-making by the time they turn 18, because when they're 18 and they go off to a college or they leave home or they get married, they have to be at a level of where in our home, we have done such a good job that they do think with a mature mindset, that they have spiritual godly wisdom, that we've implanted those kinds of things into their lives. But here's something else about the counseling stage for a parent is that if you're a counselor, then you have to know what's going on in your child's life. And so many times parents are so blinded by what's really happening behind the scenes when they're not at home, in their bedroom. And so you have to be not just a counselor, but an investigator. And this is where you were masterful in this area was, getting involved in their lives and knowing, and a lot of parents struggle with this, but you really got involved in their lives and kind of tell us a little bit about that.
I could really be a great detective. And I thought in my old age, I should open up a detective agency. But I always dug deeper than what the surface answer they gave. But on the flip side, I was involved in their life. I volunteered at La Cueva High School, at their high school. Every Friday, I answered the phones out in the main concourse that was receptionist. And that's how I did catch Dustin skipping school one time, because I called him and asked for him to bring me a Diet Coke from the vending machine. And he paused. I thought, that's the weirdest thing. It's lunchtime. It's a lunch. Bring me a Coke. And he finally had to confess he wasn't even at school. He had skipped school. And I caught him. And I caught him at so many things like that. I volunteered on their football board for like 8 years. I was on the parent advisory board at the school. I really gave a lot of my time to be where they were, to just have a presence, because I felt like that my presence was important. And then them finding out what was going on in their life, I just investigated. I always went a step further and,
Okay, let's take this a little further. Whenever your kids, that's right. You ask the questions. Whenever it comes to like their phones or their backpack, you never had any problem going through any of that.
Well, thankfully, our boys didn't have phones for a long time.
Right.
Because they were raised high school, pre-phone era. I think Dustin may have gotten a phone toward the end, but they knew right away that when they live in our home, their bedrooms were not off limits. Their backpacks were not off limits. We were able to go through any of their stuff all the time. And that's not, your kids do have rights. Our kids do have rights. But in my home, I trump that. I'm the trump card for that. And there, many times, if I suspected something or something seemed off, I would dig through the backpack, find notes for grades, especially. Back then it was to make sure their grades, because we didn't have where you could check grades online. Now there's Parent View and all this stuff. You can know what your kids are, their grades are all the time if you choose. But we were not parents that just shrugged our shoulders and said, well, whatever happens, they'll learn the hard way. I was like, I don't want you to learn the hard way. I want you to learn the easy way. And my job is to, I've trained you, and now I'm going to be the counselor, and I'm going to dig deeper, because a counselor is only as effective as the person they're counseling is honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I felt like that the kids were not being totally honest, then we just dug deeper and talked to teachers. And, I was probably went overboard, but if the boys, and mostly Dustin, he got it the hardest because he was the oldest. They say they were somewhere, I would get in my car and go check. He was where he was supposed to be 99% of the time. But I always check. So I think knowing that you are the owner of everything that's your child's.
Right.
You own their clothes. You own their, if they live with you, you own that room. You own their stuff, their phone, and you have every right to go through their things because you're protecting them.
I think parents feel guilty at times, you know, thinking about, you know, going through their backpack and if there's a note in there and reading the note or going through their phone. You know, your child should never have a phone that you don't know what the passcode is, that that where you're able to really see what's happening. And I was in a conversation probably a year ago with a lady who said, oh, I would never invade my child's privacy like that. Anyone who says that has lost sight of their parent responsibility, because our responsibility is to protect them at all cost. And at this age, there are so many influences, and this is the age when they can go off the tracks so quick, so fast, that will affect them for the rest of their lives. And so getting involved in their lives, if you find something, you may locate something on their phone or a note in their backpack that you're able to sever, stop. We ended several relationships with our kids, friendships, dating relationships, because it was taking them in the wrong direction. And they were as mad as a hornet, but I guarantee today when they look back, they know that it saved their life. And that's our responsibility.
And the amount of parents that don't really want to know, they kind of stick their head in the sand, because it's like, if I don't really know that I don't have to deal with it, that's another whole podcast. But the book really goes into detail in these stages we're talking about. And if some of these things you're thinking, oh, I wish they'd talk more about it, that's what this book is for. It really is a manual, in my opinion. And that you can go further and deeper in the subject, because you as a parent, you won't pass the test if you're not willing to know about your child. And it starts when they're toddlers, but then you follow that, and their business is your business on every level.
Right.
And that's, I feel like that why we get to enjoy having amazing grown kids, which leads us to our last stage, because time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
The last stage is consultant. And this was the hardest, and maybe still the hardest one for me. I'm learning to switch from all the parenting to being a consultant. When your kids leave your home, they move out, and if they get married, your role really changes. This is I feel like the hardest, hardest valley to jump.
I agree. This is where we've struggled more than anything else. You know, I hear a lot of times parents saying, man, we cannot wait until our kids graduate and we'll be empty nesters. We never had that mindset. I mean, it was a pull, and it was heart-wrenching for them to leave our home, because when they leave, going off to college, getting married, that you know that your home life will never be the same again. And so it's a real ripping. In fact, this week on Monday, I talked to some good friends of ours, Benny and Kelly, and they just took their daughter to college. And I saw on Instagram a picture of the three of them standing together, and his eyes were swollen and red. And I called him and said, Benny, are you okay? But he was just saying how hard it is. It was their first daughter going off and leaving the home. And it is extremely, extremely difficult. And so this is something that, you know, really to think about. You're a parent for 18 years. That's what you do. For two decades, you're a parent. For the next 40 years, your role is to be best friends with your child for the next 40 years. And that's a long, long time. And this is why this stage is vital. It's so important. You got to get it right. Because too many parents now with their grown children, there's not a great relationship. And it should be the greatest time of our lives, the greatest friendship that could ever take place. And so I want to read a verse of scripture that goes along with this. And it's Psalm 127, and it's verse 3. And it says this: children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior born in one's youth. Now, try to get the word picture of this verse. It is saying that for a young parent, you're a strong warrior. A young parent, strong warrior, Your child is like an arrow. And so when they get to the age of 18, the age of adulthood, that you put the arrow in the bow, the parent, as the strong warrior, pulls back the bow and releases the arrow, and you let it fly. At that moment, this is what is so hard, is that you have to let it fly and step back and let it go.
But that's dumb.
It is so hard. It is very difficult because, I mean, all we've done for two decades is hold on, control, teach, train. And then, I mean, in a split second, you're letting go. You're letting them fly. And that's a difficult stage for us.
Well, and yeah, you're learning. So just on that stage, on the consultant stage, and again, there's a book that talks about all this, I mean, in detail, but by consultant, I mean, our sons call you. I don't have a daughter. I have amazing daughters-in-law, but so the boys don't call me as much. They call me when there's they need me to fix something still, but they call you all the time. They call for counsel all the time. I mean, I know when you're on the phone with one of them because you walk outside because we have horrible phone service in our house and you start pacing the front yard and you have many conversations daily with our sons and giving them counsel in their jobs, their ministry, their decisions. And so, and I know that they still come to you for counsel because of the other stages that we did those well, and they still ask advice. And we think our adult children are the coolest people on the earth. I mean, literally, it's got to be a joke, but we can't wait. We look at our phones on Friday, any night of the week. But if we're just, it's like we don't have a life, but we do have a life. We have other friends, but we do live in an empty house now. We eat dinner together all the time, Galen and I. But when the phone lights up on a weekend night and it says Dustin or Jonathan, Brandon lives in DC now, so if it said his name, then we know he's just chit-chatting. But when the phone rings and it's like 5 on a weekend night, we get so excited because we're just holding our breath and hoping they're going to ask us to go eat. What losers are we? But we just wait. And when it gets to be 6:00, Galen says, well, that's the witching hour. If they don't call by 6, they're not going to call. Isn't that awful?
That's a sad life.
That's the pressure our poor kids have. But I used to say when Brandon and Delaney lived here, because they have the youngest grandkids, and there was one weekend, we were just looking for something to do. We wanted to go out with them. We hadn't seen them maybe in a while. And the phone rang. It was like 5:30. And we both were like, it's Brandon. And we answer the phone. He goes, hey. And he said, what are y'all doing? I went, nothing. We're just here. He goes, great. I want to take Delaney out for a date night. Can y'all babysit? And I went, sure. And we were excited to keep the kids, but I was like, you don't want to take us out to dinner? But it's interesting because we raise children that we really like as adults. Yeah, yeah. And that's how it should be, that you love to be with your grown-up kids. And we don't feel bad if you were excited for your kids to leave your home. But we were thrilled for our children to experience their next season of their life. But sad for us, because truly they have become these most wonderful adults that we love to be around.
Well, you know, when they leave the home, that's where it's so heart-wrenching. They're leaving. And so you're struggling and working through that because you love them so much. And what we want to do is we just want to continue parenting them, you know, and we want to fix everything for them. And Kay, when we got married, you were 19, I was 23. And I mean, it was almost every other time we went to the grocery store to buy groceries, our check was declined. And, you know, and the lady would say it loudly, declined, you know,
it
was so embarrassing that she had a cart full and then we had to take all the food back, you know, and I mean, that happened over and over and over. We did not want that for our children. And so, you know, we don't want them to go through this delayed gratification, you know, like we did. We want everything done for them right now. And in fact, here's one of the mistakes that I just made, you know, with Brandon living in DC. And I mean, everything is so expensive and they're planning a church. I'm trying to help him in every possible way that I can. And he says, you know, we're dealing with this or this or this. And I'm jumping in and going, I'll fix that and I'll pay you this and I'll give you the money for that. And this last time we were there, he said, Dad, you need to stop giving me money. And he said, we need to learn to budget ourselves. Stop giving us money. It was like, okay, you know, and but you just want to help them survive. But let me end with this. This is kind of a good thought.
You can't give him any money anymore?
No more money. Oh, no more money. Gosh. So he's just going to have to be on his own. But this is kind of a good thought of kind of how to handle this. As a parent, you know, we've been behind the driver's wheel, and once they leave the home, it's when you need to unbuckle, get out of the car, go around, get in the back seat, and buckle up back there, and then just do nothing but encourage. No more advice. Don't tell them what to do. You know, like when we're with our kids, and it's real easy for us to, like, we're going out with them and they have all the kids, and we're saying, you're not going to put socks on them, or you're not going to put a heavier coat on them. And, you know, it's where you've got to learn.
Baby boomers, and that's what we do.
And you just got to stop doing that, because that's what brings the irritation, frustration. And they're never going to do what you think they should be doing. And our parents saw us the very same way. We never did what we thought.
The conversations our parents, I know, had about us, and the things they wish they could have fixed for us. But the reality is, you can't fix it all. And we're more the consultant if they ask. That's what you're so good at. You really are. We say we're joking a lot, but you are always there when they ask for help. And sometimes we do get back in the front seat and try to tell our opinion. But you've created, I hope that we've created such a relationship that if we do that now, they receive that in the spirit that it's given, in a consultant, you know, attitude. Not that we're trying to tell them what to do. So I honestly feel like that leap is the biggest leap of all, but it's also the most rewarding.
It is.
I mean, honestly, to say that we would rather just as soon be with our grown-up children as we would anybody on the planet. And that's how much we like being with them. So I would say that we could then say we've did a good job. It's been a job well done, because, you know, we laugh a lot together. We just went on a few months ago on a family trip, on a cruise together. And honestly, it was a highlight. It will be a highlight of our life. The 17 of us, the laughing, the stories, the fun times. I mean, that's what, as in our stage of life now, in our 60s, that's what we live for, is the laughter and the heartwarming times, and to look at each other and say, we did that.
Yeah.
We did that. Well, okay. Our time, that goes by so fast. So I'm going to say it again. That's just one chapter, and the amount of details that are in the book on every single chapter, and especially these stages of parenting. I really recommend that they get the book. You speak on this at churches all over the country. We didn't even get into talking about legacy and honor, but there's a whole chapter in the book on that. And they can find those sermons also when you talk about it on YouTube. But this was very fun. I love talking about our family. I could talk about our family all day and all night, because that's what been the joy of our life, over ministry, over things that we've accomplished at our church or any in our businesses. We've had the biggest accomplishment that we think that we have in our life for our children, their wives, and our grandchildren. So anyway, the book again is A Matter of Time, and the author is my husband, Galen Woodward. And thank you for taking time out of your busy day to sit here on my podcast and talk about our kids. It was great. So raising leaders, raising kids that can truly make a difference in our world. Thank you. It was fun. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.